Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWIT.
Bandwidth for TWIT specials is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. It's time for TWIT special number 173. iFixit tears down the PlayStation 4. Leo Laporte here. Hello, everybody. It's time to tear down yet another fabulous new tech product. Our friends from iFixit are back. iFixit.com. A wonderful site. The ultimate in repair guides for everything. From refrigerators to iPhones. And yes, even game consoles. Joining us right now, Gwendolyn Gay, you probably recognize her from the iFixit videos. Hi, Gwendolyn.
Hey.
And with her, we've got technician Walter Galan. He is going to tear it down. You're going to tear it down, Walter.
Tear this thing apart.
So first of all, I'm going to follow along. I've got my PlayStation 4 right here, sealed in the box. And I'm going to start off by clipping my wrist grounding to the microphone, because everybody knows that the microphone is well grounded. I'm not going to tear this apart because, unfortunately, it's Shannon's and she hasn't given me permission. But we will follow along. Have you taken one apart before, Walter?
This is the first time, so we'll find this out.
Okay. We're learning together. And has this PlayStation 4 been used for anything?
We turned it on, and it does work.
It does.
That's it. That's all we know.
Gwendolyn, where did we get this?
We got this one from Amazon. The one we actually did for the actual teardown, we got from the East Coast.
Awesome.
So that we could get it 3 hours earlier our time.
Yeah, time is of the essence on iFixit teardowns. You got to be the at least you didn't have to go to Australia this time.
That's true.
Yeah. So, you know, we've actually started to hear about some technical issues, a number of different technical issues with the PlayStation 4. Some people are experiencing what they call the blue ring of death, some overheating issues. But for the most part, I think people are very excited to get the latest generation Sony game console. Let us begin. What are we going to need? I've got my iFixit case here. What am I going to need here?
So we've got a T9 security Torx screw.
Okay.
Phillips 1. Tweezers. And your... what's that?
Six. All your little bits.
Got the screw here.
Yeah, my 54-bit iFixit toolkit.
Exactly.
So this is usually consoles are not as tightly packed as all the tablets we've seen and the phones.
No, things are usually more modular. Things just come out.
So go ahead, Walter. You get to it. And Gwendolyn, if you want to narrate what Walter's up to, we have two shots. We have you guys, but we also have a close-up so we can see.
The best part about this, the first step is no screws, nothing required for this. So we're going to take off that first.
Really? It just pops right off?
Pops right off. Look at that right there.
And you can get to the drive with just a screwdriver. So.
Wow, that's really easy.
Yeah.
It's really easy. Just pop it off.
It's a nice change of pace from all the tablets we've been seeing with all the glue.
Yeah, no kidding. We didn't have to use a spudger or anything.
Nope.
No guitar picks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then just take off one Phillips screw.
Now, it's a very compact design, very elegant design. So I imagine it's going to be tight in there compared to, say, a PC. We'll find out.
Not a lot of space in here.
Yeah.
Here's your hard drive.
How big a hard drive is it?
500 gigs.
All right.
So, but you can upgrade it as long as it's greater than 160.
So that's a nice thing. It looked like it was fairly easy to get to. Just a screw and you pop off the top. So a hard drive upgrade on this will be very simple if you wanted to put a terabyte or a couple of terabytes. Do we know if it's specially formatted like a TiVo, or is there anything you have to do to bless it, or can you just...
You just pop in a new one, stick it in, and turn on your PlayStation.
Wow, that's awesome.
We always like that. Anything that's user-friendly that we can just mod ourselves.
Yeah, no kidding. It seems like Sony intended it that way. I mean, that was the easiest. That was the first thing you do.
Right, and actually, this is something that was... We also had this type of drive that was user-friendly in the Super Slim.
Is it a SATA drive?
Yes, it's a SATA 2.
SATA 2, not SATA 3. Okay.
So then you take up take these warranty void stickers.
Those are fine.
Oh!
You can see them right there.
All right. We should tell people when you're removing the warranty void stickers, you are Voiding the warranty. Wait a minute. Looks like you've got a special technique for removing those that doesn't tear the sticker. Have you ever put it back on?
Well, if you put it back on, I don't know if you can read it, but you can see the word void there.
So. Oh, I see. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have voided the warranty. Oh, well, you weren't going to return it anyway. Actually, that is probably a good word of warning. Given the fact that there does seem to be some percentage of these that are DOA, it's probably not a good idea to do this unless you're really willing to void your warranty, because Sony could reasonably say, no, you opened it. But you didn't have to do that to put a new hard drive in.
No.
Nope.
Good. Like that.
Yeah. So now we're, once he takes those off, it's just a couple of Torx security screws. I believe, right?
Yeah, just a couple of T9. There should be four on the back of it.
Gwendolyn, why do people use Torx screws? Are they better? Are they less likely to strip?
I don't think they're less likely to strip than a, say, Phillips.
Right. I mean, they used to use them because nobody had a Torx bit. But now everybody's got Torx bits.
So it was a proprietary screw first, and like, Apple uses their Pentalobe now.
Right.
But even the Pentalobe is becoming more common with the drivers. We have drivers, but then there's other drivers out there. So Torx is not as proprietary as it used to be. It does discourage people from getting inside their devices with Torx security, but if you have our ProTec toolkit or a driver, it's not going to stop.
Yeah.
And he's just going to pop that off after the four screws.
Well, that was easy too.
First panel. Yeah.
Very simple.
So you might notice if you're watching that the there's a slight lag between the two different feeds. The Ustream feed's slightly slower. There's just some latency, but that actually is nice because we can go back and see you do it again. It's almost like our instant replay channel, so that works out quite well. So this is a very nice, very clean layout, and you could tell that one of their chief concerns is cooling.
A big fan.
Yeah,
right,
we got a huge fan.
And it looks like airflow baffles designed to make sure that the air from the fan goes to all the right places.
Yeah. How big was this fan again? This is a design by Sony.
It's a big, the larger, of course, the fan blades, the quieter the fan will be. It can rotate slower and get more air movement. So I think that, in a device like this, you want a big fan is a good idea.
Yeah.
Sure.
Did you notice how noisy it was when you started it up?
Not at all.
Very quiet.
I mean, compared to the first generation PlayStation 3, which sounded like a wind turbine.
Yeah. Oh, I couldn't use my original Xbox 360 in anywhere that there were people because it was so noisy. It felt like a jet airplane about to take off.
Have you played with the PS4 yet?
No, I haven't. It's just sitting here sealed in front of me. I'm very frustrated.
Such a tease.
I know. But I ordered the Xbox One, so by the time we do this next week with the Xbox One, I will have played with the Xbox One.
Okay.
So now what are you pulling off there?
Taking off the power supply.
Okay, that's interesting.
Close up of the power supply.
All right. So this has an integral power supply, or does it also have a big wall ward?
No, this is integrated into it. This is it. It's your...
That's bad for cooling, but nice for users. We don't have a big old clunky thing on the floor.
Exactly. There you go.
Easy enough.
That's it. That's all it took to replace the power supply.
Wow.
Thank you.
And anything to say about the power supply? Anything particular about it that you note?
It's nice because it's universal. So it's 100 to 240 volts, which means it works worldwide. No need to buy adapter. All you need is an adapter.
That's nice. Yeah, and that would make sense. I mean, Sony's not going to make something that will only work in the U.S. or only works, in Asia. I presume it's a proprietary design, though. It doesn't look like something we could buy off the shelf.
Now we're going to the optical drive to get that out. And that's, again, just a couple of screws.
A Blu-ray disc again. Sony did that last time, of course. Blu-ray is Sony's technology, but I understand that it doesn't, like the Xbox One, it doesn't have 3D capability out of the box, as far as I understand.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Not that I care about that, but...
Do you have a 3D TV?
I do, but I hate 3D, so...
Okay.
I think both companies have said that they will offer... That while they have the capability, the software's not there, but they will offer an update that will make Blu-ray compatible, 3D compatible at some point.
Here we go. This should be the Bluetooth antenna. Bluetooth or Wi-Fi. Let's just push that out of the way. Let's get the...
So but Wi-Fi built in, and is it 802.11?
802 A, B, G, and N.
No AC on it.
No AC.
So if you're just tuning in, we're tearing down the new PS4 from Sony. Gwendolyn Gay with us, Walter Galan, the technician doing the actual labor. Gwendolyn just enjoying the view.
Well, like I said, you know, we do our teardown sometimes remotely so that we can get them first. So this is exciting for me.
It's nice to see up close, yeah.
See it up close, yeah. Yeah. So.
And a number of people asking, Lawndog, particularly in our chat room, why SATA 2? Why not the faster SATA 3? And I just presume that was for cost savings. Remember, this is only a $300 unit. And in order to keep the cost down, that maybe they've made some sacrifices. It may be that Disk.io was not a priority. Probably isn't, given the hard drives they're using. You do now. Are you using that special mat there, Gwendolyn?
This is our magnetic mat, and so it's got grids on it, so you can keep everything intact. I'm just making notes on what the screws are going to.
You actually are writing it down as Walter goes.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
By the way, just making sure that we can put it back together correctly.
$400. I'm sorry, not $300. That was wishful thinking. $300. $400.
Does this slide right up? Okay.
According to Wikipedia, that one of the advantages of Torx screws is they are less prone to cam out. You can't over-tighten them as much. They're designed to prevent over-tightening. And they're flat. They're flush. They don't have the big knob. Developed in 1967 by Camcar Textron. So I didn't realize Torx had been around since 1967. That's kind of amazing.
67?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're at ISO standard 10664, the hexolobular internal.
Okay, sure.
Apparently common in bikes, bicycle brake systems, motorcycles, automobiles, and of course Apple. Apple's the first to use it in any device I'm aware of. But they have never been, you know, proprietary in that sense. It is an ISO standard.
Which is nice.
Yeah. Torx head screws resist cam out better than Phillips or slot head screws. Phillips heads were designed to cause the driver to cam out to prevent over-tightening. Torx heads were designed to prevent cam out, which means... because they were using automatic screwdrivers that limited torque and couldn't over tighten, they didn't have to worry about it. And they're, yeah. Yeah. And they can set this specific torque. That's right. Burke McQuinn, who does all our repairs here, is an expert on this stuff. So that is the optical drive you're taking out there, Walter?
Drive here. It's got a unique locking mechanism here.
Connector.
And I'm trying my best not to break it. So,
Walter, have you been inside a PS3 or a PS2 before?
Completely, yeah.
Yeah, so you would recognize anything that Sony's done before. This sounds like something new.
This is new to me. I've seen this type of connector, but not this new locking mechanism. It looks like you just pull it out, but these things, it's so fragile.
Gwendolyn, this is where the expertise and the experience of the iFixit crew really is handy, because somebody like me, I just go, oh, let's just yank it out.
Right.
And they're patient.
Let's not do that, Leo.
They're very patient. Reassembly is key, right?
That's always where you end up with a few loose screws here and there, but as long as it works in the end.
What you don't want is a broken connector.
No.
Exactly.
That's definitely where the patience comes in.
Yeah. Yeah, it always blows me away to watch you guys, the patience you guys have. Just working at something until it comes out.
So this type of connector, I don't know if you can see it here. You pretty much just push out one side. Push out one side here, and then one side, the other side like that. And the connector just comes off like that.
So you also have to be good at this, you have to have a lot of mechanical aptitude to kind of be able to look at a part and kind of understand how it works so you know where to push or where to pull.
Exactly, because if you push or pull in the wrong direction, then you're done. So what you see here, this is the optical drive board here. Right there, it's attached by a couple of ribbon cables there.
Yeah, we have a close-up on the teardown as well.
So in the past, with PlayStation 3s, if you ever wanted to replace your Blu-ray drive, you'd always have to transfer over this board. So I'm assuming the same would be for the PS4. If you ever want to replace your Blu-ray drive, just transfer this board.
Yeah.
Okay, so now pretty much almost done here. We just have a fan, the motherboard, and the case. That's it.
Wow, this was way too easy.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's not that bad. I think I struggled more with the PlayStation 3 in the beginning. Lots more parts.
I'm guessing this is going to get a very high repairability score.
It's got an 8, if I'm not mistaken.
8 out of 10.
8 out of 10, yeah.
That's pretty good. Why not 10 out of 10? It seemed like that was very easy to get into.
Torx security screws.
Oh, you see?
Yeah.
Just use regular screws. That's a minor thing. It just means you have to have the iFixit kit. So it's a 10 out of 10 for anybody with the iFixit kit.
10 out of 10 for anybody with that.
The iPad air repair score that we did last week or a couple of weeks ago was 2.
Yes.
2.
That's mostly due to the glue.
Yeah, 2 due to glue.
Reassembly when you're talking about glue is just almost impossible. So, almost.
We're watching the PS4 tear. This was so much easier than the iPad Air. The PS4 teardown. From iFixit.com, Walter Galan is doing the screwing, and Gwendolyn Gay watching and keeping track of where all those screws are going to go back, because, yes, they do put it back afterwards. And you see, she's got the iFixit magnetic pad that captures the screws, and then she's using... Is it a grease pencil, Gwendolyn?
Yeah, it is. So you can do a little erasing if you mess up.
You can mark it and reuse it. And what a great idea. That is a nice innovation. I got to order one of those.
We're going to be using this PS4 for all the repair guides that we're going to be making. So we definitely want to make sure that we're putting it back together correctly.
Well, and also really true that this is, there's one thing everybody's going to want to be able to do, which is easily upgrade that hard drive. That's nice that was so easy and didn't void the warranty. It does not require any special screwdrivers or anything. Well, I guess you need a Torx screwdriver for that.
Yeah. No.
A regular one. Yeah. Yeah, I fix it, Jeff. Send me that magnetics thing. I need that.
That's
the problem with getting the tools from iFixit is then you think you can do it. And you start taking stuff apart.
Some of the confidence can come from knowing that you have the right tools. So.
It really does make it a lot easier. And then watching the videos on iFixit.com is really helpful for me. We had a caller on the radio show. You know, she had an old HP laptop. The screen had died, and she was able to find it on eBay for $80. And she said, I'm just going to take it apart. And I said, that's great. She said, should I buy a new computer? I said, you could use it as an excuse to, but if the part's $80, keep it for another year. And then, you know, you save up some money, you can buy a little bit better computer. It isn't so bad. It's nice to be able to have that power to do that. This looks really well designed, I have to say.
They put a lot of time into this.
Yeah.
Something that I found interesting about the design, the hardware design, is they used a software guy to design it. So he's thinking future tense.
Interesting.
Games and the way we use television now. So definitely a lot of thought and coming from a different area from a designer.
Yeah,
so.
No kidding. I mean, usually the designers are graphic artists or they have a product design experience, people like Johnny Ive. But for a software guy to work on this, that's very interesting.
Designing the hardware just so that it could be keep up with everything right. That's hopefully in the future, because these don't come out, you know, every year.
Yeah, well, that's an excellent point. I mean, the consoles are supposed to last 10 years.
Sure.
And
yeah.
What's the world going to be like 10 years from now? It's kind of hard to even imagine.
Did we miss a screw? Maybe?
Prowler in our chat room says he likes to take pictures as he tears down. I think that's a great practice, to take pictures before you take apart each stage of the way. And I know that's really what you get at iFixit.com is those step-by-step images. But I think that's a very good idea.
And users like him can definitely come on and do their own repairs. We're a wiki so that he can definitely do his own repairs and upload his photos on the repairs that he's doing.
I really like that about it.
Yeah.
It's you know, the right to repair is extended to the right to show how others how to repair too. So there are a lot of repair manuals in progress on your wiki. People can help out there. And it's a really broad range of devices, from vacuum cleaners to headphones to Buick 2002 Sentries.
Yeah, everything. And it's continually growing, which is wonderful. People are sharing their knowledge. You know, you may not know everything about everything, but if you know a little bit and you want to share it, it helps out everyone. And we're always, you know, it's free. So the knowledge will always be free.
I really love that. It's a really great model for a business. I mean, you make your money selling the tools, the parts, and then you give away all the information people need to do it themselves. It's just fabulous.
It was an easy thing to get behind.
Yeah. I feel the same way, yeah. So where are we now, Walter?
I'm trying to remove this.
This is the fourth panel, the very last
this
one.
This is the last panel on. Here, but I think, I have a feeling there's a screw hidden somewhere.
Yeah, you can kind of tell it's attached, huh?
Attached, and I got it so if you can see it. I mean, I got that off right there. But back here.
Don't pry it. Patience.
Back here. So, just have to, once I figure out what that thing is, it's not that difficult. Like, this was not that bad to pry off, so that means there's something else holding it.
Yeah.
There. People at home are probably hating me right now for doing this.
They're probably dying.
Yeah.
Because they know, right? Somebody at iFixit has done this already.
Yeah, you all met Walter last week, and he was the one doing it in Canada for us.
Ah, cool.
With our friends at Chipworks. So.
That's right. You've got affiliates all over the world, which is nice. Yeah.
Hey, Walter.
Walter, you're not wearing your electrostatic discharge bracelet.
Oh, this table's grounded.
Oh, see?
Oh.
See, if you work at iFixit, you got the best stuff.
Yeah.
I never wear one. We used to have the screensavers. We would tear stuff apart all the time. Never wore one of these. Because we don't live in a dry climate. There's not a lot of static in Northern California. So we didn't pay much attention to it, which is probably wrong of us. But no chips were killed in the making of that show. Actually, I can't say that, actually. We set stuff on fire.
Oh, no.
We blew stuff up.
All in the name of science, right?
All in the name of science and good television, which are not necessary. We're not necessarily mutually exclusive, but often are. So you found the screw, Walter?
Found a screw. There was one more there, but I don't think that was holding it in. I'm just going to have to pry this. So,
okay, this is where the suspense comes in. Let's get a close-up. Don't cut to me, Chad. We got to watch. He's going to pry it. It could snap at any moment. Plastic bends, but it can only bend so far before. That doesn't sound good at all. Did you read the instructions on iFixit.com, Walter?
Well, I did. I wrote the teardown.
Well, you should know how the thing comes off.
Sometimes Miro was the one who actually took it apart. So
sometimes there's a hidden tab in there? Or
hidden tab sometimes.
Yeah.
And I really don't want to break this. It's a really nice machine.
It's beautiful, and you'd feel bad if there were anything rattling in it when you put it back together.
I just have to see it right now.
iFixit's headquarters, world headquarters in San Luis Obispo, California. Really beautiful area of Central California. Good, kind of a small town like Petaluma. Nice place to be. I noticed there's no sledgehammer in the iFixit kit. I guess we're expected to provide our own.
We have to go buy them ourselves.
Sometimes we like pulling that out when it comes to a tablet.
I have an axe in my trunk I found the other day. I don't know if that would come in handy.
There you go.
He's really, it's good. You know, he's really working at it, but he's patient. He's not, he knows how far to push it. Do you ever get frustrated and just go, arr!
I can't afford to do that.
No, you are not allowed.
I have to be patient.
Slowly he pulled, inch by inch, step by step.
This is a little bit a window into how long our teardowns take when we're facing a device we've never taken apart before.
Yeah, you take extra time. You're extra careful. And I know last week it was more than an hour to get the iPad Air apart for the very first time. I mean,
it can
be challenging, yeah.
Yeah.
No lithium ion batteries in this you have to worry about.
This one. Yeah.
No yes. Glue.
Never know. Okay.
He's getting there. He's gonna burn. It's okay. Don't feel the pressure just because there are millions of people watching and the cameras are on. Don't feel any pressure at all.
Walter's cute. Cole is a cucumber.
No. We got plenty of time. 20 minutes.
20 minutes, all right.
You could do this. I have faith, Walter.
I hear clips. Yeah.
How long have you been doing this, Gwendolyn?
With iFixit?
Yeah.
I've been here since June of this year.
When you're in college, did you ever think that this would be your career, tearing stuff apart?
No.
What did you study?
I have a degree in communication.
Yeah, well, you're communicating. That's good.
Yeah. Specifically speech communications. I did a lot of speech and debate. So I was all about learning how to do things on the fly.
Yep.
And then when it came to electronics, the first thing I took apart here, I think, was my computer, which was loads of fun. And then I took apart an iPhone, and I was...
Ooh, that's challenging.
Yeah, it was a little, the very first time was always nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
But again, having the knowledge and the tools gave me the confidence. And once you get past the first one, you feel like you can take apart anything. And it
that's
worked.
Empowering. I think that's really great, yeah.
Definitely. I would always encourage someone who could, who's interested in doing that to just, if they're not wanting to do their own, maybe go to Goodwill and find a device that they'd like to take apart. And just build their confidence with devices. And again, with things like warranties, I think the best warranty is knowing how to fix your own device and having the confidence to do that. So,
Walter, are we going to grade it down a point for repairability on this based on this?
It's just once you know the trick, and I'm pretty sure I'm missing something here, but I almost got it off.
There's some clip in there, and it's pretty surely a clip, yeah.
And I'm pretty sure once I discover what this clip is, I'll be writing to tell people how to do it.
Right. And yeah, that's a good point. Repairability doesn't mean how hard it was the first time.
It's just how easy it is once you get
the hang of it. Once you've been there and done that, then or you can communicate it.
Right. And the problems we're having are the problems that other people will have, so we want to make sure that
right.
we can communicate.
First time. Right.
Yeah.
Right. And truthfully, removing whatever that piece is probably not critical to repairs in any way. We're just taking it off for completeness. There's nothing under there, is there?
No. You got the board and the fan.
Oh, there's some stuff in there. All right.
Yeah.
See?
Oh, yeah. We want to get in there.
So
it looks like they used... no, this past this. Yeah, they. You know what? This they cheated. This picture is step the step 18 picture there. All it is slid it off there. That's not. How. Yeah, they we got even more detail than that.
It probably is that easy.
Yeah, they just slid it off. We want to get to the logic board here, which is underneath a metal shield underneath this plastic.
This does.
That's the piece that Miro cuts.
Show it. Don't.
This
really?
Is the piece that Miro cut his hand on in our teardown. You can see his big hand.
Ooh.
In the teardown.
Okay, be careful. We don't want any injuries here.
Okay.
It's all slips, so.
It's oh, look at that.
Thank you.
Did we break anything?
No, we didn't.
He tore it off, and no hands were harmed in the breaking of this PS4.
So, Leo, that, to be honest, you just have to pull. That's it.
Okay. But I think your reluctance, I understand, an honor, because you don't know.
I was reluctant because I didn't know, but if you can see here, I mean, there were clips on the side right there.
Yeah.
And there were clips on the side right there.
Nice job.
So you just have to pull. That's it.
And I got to be honest, we got to add a little suspense at some point in this. This is way too easy otherwise.
So now, I mean...
We're adding drama.
Yeah.
Now it's simply just removing a couple screws.
It's all about story arc, Gwendolyn. I'm sure you learned all about that in communications.
Of course, yes.
Both my kids did forensics, and Henry is now studying communications at CU Boulder. And
oh,
he really
yeah.
likes it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he likes it. He wants to be in the biz.
Nice.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So you could put an SSD in your PS4, but I think with a SATA 2 bus, that might not be a good idea. I mean, you're not really going to get the benefit of the SSD.
I mean, maybe you'll shave off a few seconds off your loading screen, maybe.
Maybe, yeah. But you really would want SATA 3. You'll saturate SATA 2 pretty quickly with an SSD.
I mean, given the price of an SSD right now,
it's not worth it.
Better off just
spending. Be patient. Let those cutscenes load. It's the bus that's the real bottleneck, not the drive. Really, Peter in SF says SSD's way faster even on SATA 2. SATA 2 is what, 6 gigabits per second?
Thank you.
You're welcome. We don't need to be tearing anything else off.
Yeah, but random reads are not the... Okay, there we go. There's the shield.
So you can see the shield, and you can see the thermal pads right there for the RAM chips. Right? 2, 3, 4.
So those pads just... are they conductive? Are they thermally conductive?
Exactly.
And they actually touch the chip... you don't want to touch them with metal, so you touch them with those pads. They're thermally but not electrically conductive.
You still have the pads on. Well, chips too.
You can see it there. You can see the actual chip markings. I don't know if you can zoom in even more. But
yeah, I don't know if we can. So the chip markings are actually etched into the pad?
Well, because they're pressed on there.
Yeah. So yeah, isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to get enough detail through the stream, but that's pretty cool. Yeah. So they don't use thermal paste, but they are using some sort of thermal pad that's right on that chip.
They've used that on PS3. I think the Xbox uses them as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I got to pull this off.
You have a lot more control with a pad than you would with thermal paste. There's always a risk of over-applying or under-applying thermal paste.
So you would have to go through all of this to get your fan.
Wow. So if the fan dies, it's not going to be any fun.
Yeah, that's part of the scoring of being paid,
is
basically getting to the fan. So.
Right. There are certain things that you could reasonably repair, like the fan, but having to tear the whole thing apart just to get there is kind of tough.
I like this board, though. It's very organized.
Well designed, huh?
It's a beautiful design, yeah.
Yeah, I don't see a lot of chips. It's pretty amazing now what you can do with... I don't know how much RAM's on that thing, but I only see eight chips plus two...
So there are eight chips on the back, and then eight chips on the front of the board, and they're each 512? It should be a total of 8 gigs.
8 gigs of RAM.
Yep.
It's a very, you're right, Gwendolyn. That's a beautiful design. It's very clean.
Yeah.
Of course, when you're producing a consumer product like this, I mean, the ease of manufacture is very high priority. Yeah. And it's worth spending a lot of time up front to get something that you can make easily and reliably. It's a big motherboard.
It's a huge motherboard.
Yeah.
Takes up roughly, I'm going to say, I mean...
Doesn't need to be that big. There's a lot of real estate, but I guess separating the chips really dissipates the heat.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if they reduce the size of the motherboard in future revisions. I think they could.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to carefully disconnect this one connector here.
And so at this point in the teardown that you can go through, look at the chip designations, the chip numbers, and get a much better idea of how this is put together. You know, typically companies like Microsoft and Sony, Apple, don't tell you what's in their stuff. They'll say, well, it's an x86 architecture, but they might not say who makes the processor and so forth. So sometimes they obfuscate those numbers. Have we been able to read those numbers and know exactly what controllers, what chips are in there?
We have a complete list on our teardown there. But
right.
Step 20 and 21 should be able to tell
you.
Yep,
there you go. Yeah. There's a AMD Jaguar cores. It looks like Sony made their own CPU with a Jaguar cores from AMD and Radeon graphics GPUs in that large chip there.
So we got it off here, and you can see this is the top side here.
Wow.
That we turned over.
And you do have some thermal paste there. Okay.
There's a little thermal paste, all right.
Yeah. So this is what I was saying. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 RAM chips here, so there's 4 gigs on one side, and then 4 gigs on the other side.
And that main CPU, that is a big die. Look how big that is. But there's a lot in there.
That's your system on chip. It's got the AMD Jaguar cores and the... GPU in there.
Right. Very nice. Somebody's saying it looks like an old PC motherboard. It does a little bit with the connectors on the back and big CPU.
And then we'll just take it off the fan now.
Just tuning in. Twit's coming up in a few minutes, but right now we're tearing down the PlayStation 4. It came out just a few days ago with the folks at iFixit.com. Gwendolyn Gay is here and Walter Galan. And so far, a pretty easy teardown. A little suspense pulling off
the last panel
that protected the motherboard, but it came off. Walter didn't break anything.
Here's your heat sink.
Let's see the heat sink. Wow, wow. Is it copper?
The bottom might be, but...
Yeah, look at that. So that whole thing is a heat sink.
This whole thing is a heat sink right there.
Wow. And the fan is blowing right across the bottom of that.
Exactly. So, Glenn...
Holy cow. It's not water-cooled. That's all air-cooled. It looks like a block. It looks like an engine block or something. That's big.
Yeah.
Wow. And there's the fan. One fan in the whole thing.
One fan.
Pretty impressive.
It's held in by two screws.
And there, if you had a broken fan, there's where there's the last thing you'd be putting in.
Last thing is a fan. So,
but this is easier even than taking apart a laptop. This is a, this is a fair. It looks like a fairly straightforward teardown.
That's just it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
There's your PS4 teardown.
Nice job, Walter. Not one piece out of place.
Not one piece. There you go.
Very nice.
Now we'll have Gwen put it back together.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So we have seen a number of these people complaints, a lot of one-star reviews on Amazon, people complaining about overheating, blue rings of death, things like that. Looking at that, it looks like it's well-designed for cooling. They paid attention to it. Any thoughts?
I think that was one of their main goals, was to combat the yellow light of death.
Right.
This is a... With the heatsink and the fan, I feel like the majority of people will not have that problem. And with the problems that we've seen, from what I've seen, it's about one in every 250.
Right.
So you just hope that you're not one of those one, I guess.
And I think Sony hasn't officially mentioned anything yet.
Right.
No one at Sony has yet.
They're aware of the problem.
These gaming consoles, somebody's saying this in the chat room, this is really true. People put them in, cabinets with a bunch of stuff around them. They're really in a challenging environment, often sealed off. And so it's not really a surprise that, I mean, they're in a very thermally challenged environment. So you could see they spent a lot of energy designing for good cooling, for good airflow. And I'm sure that if there are problems... it's not because of a poor design.
I think it has to do, I mean, sometimes you might not have cable plugged in.
You think it's user error?
Possibly.
Maybe. There's also the fact that I doubt your PlayStation will work if you don't update it.
Right. It's a fairly large download for, I think it's a 500 megabyte download to begin with.
So maybe something went wrong during the download.
Right.
There's a lot of possibilities out there right now.
549 one-star reviews on Amazon right now out of 1,909 total reviews. Of course, if you got a DOA, you're going to immediately run to Amazon and write about it. So we'd expect a higher percentage there than normal. A lot of people seeing that blue pulsing light of death. The 859 megabyte first update. But I think you're right. I think, Walter, it could easily be a failed update.
You could have a partially brick console.
Right, right. So, although some people are saying it never starts up, some people are saying it fails after the update. So.
Then, yeah. Then it's time to take it back.
Anytime you make a million of anything, and they sold a million in the first day.
First day?
Yeah. Anytime you make a million of anything, some percentage, even if it's 0.1%, that's thousands of machines.
Yeah.
And you'll hear about it from every one of those people. So I think it's too early to say whether there's a problem with the PS3. It looks like it's pretty repairable. You said 8 on a score of 8 to 10, of 1 to 10.
We give this an 8, and hopefully within the next few weeks we'll have a couple repair guides for this.
Yep.
So, definitely.
Really nice job.
Single component.
Gwendolyn Gay, Walter Galan, thank you so much for tearing down the PS4 for us and taking a look at the inside. Beautiful. As always, elegant job. Now do you have to put it back together again?
That's Gwen's job.
So nice to see you both. Thank you so much. Next week, we tear down the Xbox One for completeness sake. I hope you guys get that put together because I think it's time to play a little Killzone.
I think it is, right?
All right, guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Gwendolyn Gay, Walter Galan, ifixit.com. The teardown is online, picture by picture. All the parts, all of it at ifixit.com. And if you want to do the same, you can also get your iFixit toolkit. I'll give you a free plug for that. I love my iFixit toolkit. Thanks, everybody. And that concludes this iFixit Teardown, the PlayStation 4.